Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 695, well, happy days are here again. Government shutdown aversion, diversion in podcast 695. Well, in my neck of the woods right now, we're having kind of a little, I just call this a little blizzard. It is in whiteout conditions and temperatures are going to be dropping. And we had a little break over the weekend where we had really nice temperatures and it was good. But I don't know about you, but on New Year's Day, actually at the stroke of midnight, my furnace failed and I had to shut the water off and call somebody to come and fix it. And this is the time of the year when you really, if you haven't checked the furnace or if you're not paying close attention to furnaces and water heaters and pipes, things like that, you can have big problems. And when it comes to keeping all these systems operating, I want you to think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business. Lots of times we neglect our business because we're thinking about the home this time of the year. But when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems in the summer, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You can call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. You know, I have the same story along those lines. You know, recently I had a toilet repaired. It wasn't done by a plumber. It's a long story, but it still isn't working right. And at one point I said, this is why we call plumbers. So remember, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You can check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. That's ryanplumbing.com. Cold, snow, furnaces and water heaters working overtime. Remember, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 online at ryanplumbing.com. I have to mention that a resource for finding all of the different parameters for thebobdavispodcast.com is the website, thebobdavispodcast.com. First of all, as soon as you hit the site, you're going to hear streaming. Secondly, if you want to subscribe, you can subscribe right off the page for the RSS feed. Just look for the little logo. Also, Facebook and Twitter right there on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can get the Bob Davis Podcast at iTunes by subscribing there. TuneIn, Stitcher, and again, right off the page. I do appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting on Facebook and Twitter. I'm not a big fan of Twitter. My favorite is Instagram, and I do appreciate your donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Almost went out and got into this blizzard, but I decided it wasn't big enough. More about that later. I am planning a mega trip. I'll tell you all about it going forward. Well, all weekend, I could have done a podcast about shutdown, but it would have been spitting into the wind. The shouts and screams and lamentations on all sides of the so-called political divide about the pain and suffering or elation as the result of really a short-term funding gap for the government of the United States. And through all of this, I thought, if there is any indicator of a massive delusion in the United States, this was it. An entire weekend of shouting and screaming, worthless details, local stories in every state about what that state's federal employees are going to do without their paychecks, horror stories about the effects of a long-term shutdown, and up to the minute, or actually minute, reporting on the ongoing shutdown. Who was responsible for it? What are we going to do? What happens Monday if they don't solve this problem? Lo and behold, on Monday, the Senate voted to reopen the federal government after half a day of quote-unquote idleness. This is why political analysis is more and more tedious and more unnecessary every single day in this country. And it made me, and I'm not a sports fan, but it made me actually grateful to God high above for a big NFL playoff game, especially in Minnesota since the Vikings were playing Philadelphia. we were spared because of that yet more continuous coverage from every quarter on what amounted to nothing but silliness. And I think it's really important because the whole debacle is clear evidence of how the media and our government denies us all the ability to just be with each other without having to carry resentments about whatever this week's outrage is, whether it's in Facebook or on Twitter or any of this silliness that goes on. My Democrat friends sniff that this was the first time in history that a party controlling all three branches of government shut the government down. I don't even know if that's true, but I will tell you this in this particular case, it is most decidedly not true. Here's another one. The White House declared it the Schumer shutdown, as though New York Senator Chuck Schumer caused the whole thing. For your information, last week the Republican House voted to keep the government open, and I use that term lightly, on a straight party vote. I'm not aware that there were any Democrat votes on the House version of the continuing resolution. The Senate voted down the House measure. Four or five Democrat senators voted for the measure in the Senate. Four or five Republicans voted against the measure in the Senate. If two Democrats had voted for it, it would have passed. If two Republicans had voted for it, it would have passed. So this is hardly one party controlling the government and hardly one party shutting it down. I have to point out this is a continuing resolution on a budget. The reason that we have these kinds of problems is we don't have a budget because Congress has not been able to agree on a budget for whatever reason. And as near as I can tell, the stumbling blocks in this particular case involve the degree to which the House version allowed the so-called Dreamers to include their parents and citizenship bids and amnesties and the potential for chain immigration, which is additional family members joining the Dreamers in the U.S. So a lot of this has to do with DACA. Also, the Children's Health Insurance Program, which supposedly is popular, among other issues, not the least of which is the fact that this is a continuing resolution, which includes yet more spending for defense. And Democrats, of course, when they see more spending defense on defense issues, they want more spending for their programs. So the so-called shutdown is big news in Washington, D.C., and of course, in states with a lot of federal employees like Maryland. In Minnesota, it's actually news because I noticed the Tribune here in Minneapolis and St. Paul ran a story just wondering what the 13,000 federal employees, which makes the federal government one of the larger employers in the state, what were they going to do if they were furloughed and what was going to happen? But the story itself was less important in Minnesota than, let's say, the Vikings, because fewer people here are employed by the federal government. But, you know, here's what happens. None of these federal employees would lose a dime, even if the government were to be shut down for a period of time, like longer than half a day, because as soon as they go back, their check is going to reflect back pay. They are basically getting a paid vacation. A government shutdown is the government actually working. And I think that's really, really important to point out. It's two or three different political philosophies, such as they are, working out their differences. And despite all the political analysis about the fissures in both parties, whether it's the Democrats, the Republicans, and how this is happening, and this person at the White House isn't doing that, and that person in the Senate isn't doing this, and this one's a this, and that one's a that. This is what politics is, and it's called working out differences, and sometimes they play hardball. What's important is what all media does these days is it turns it into some kind of hysteria. And that is something I refuse to do, and that's why I decided I'm not going to do a podcast about the big government shutdown, because basically it serves no one. Not the least of which in media, and that is something called analysis, which is always part of a crisis like this. And I use the term crisis lightly. And one of the things that I saw that really irritated me is somebody wrote this piece that said, libertarians shouldn't oppose a government shutdown. Someone's going to tell me why the Democrats aren't responsible for it. Someone's going to tell me why the president is the cause of all this. Someone's going to tell me why libertarians shouldn't oppose a government shutdown. Somebody's going to tell me why Lindsey Graham, one of the chief negotiators between the Senate and the White House, a Republican senator from South Carolina, is responsible for this, or why the president's man, Stephen Miller, is responsible for this, or the reason for the shutdown, and there are many. So it was a short shutdown, and this is the whole point about this. And, you know, I'm going to defend the president here very shortly. Well, in this kind of weather, unless you're in the South, you aren't riding. But I do want to tell you about the great motorcycle products and accessories company I'm working with, Ciro 3D, C-I-R-O, Ciro 3D. Yes, spring is coming. It's going to be a long way off. Daylight savings time is a long way off, but I like to think about it this way. I look at it and I think, well, let's see, it's almost February. Then we just have February and March and then April, and maybe towards the end of April, people can start riding again and, you know, we'll have summer. Now, getting through the next 60 to 90 days, that's the real challenge, but you will be riding soon. And right now your bike is sitting in the garage and you're looking at it and you're thinking about what kind of cool stuff you want to put on it, whether it's badass or functional or whether it's about safety. Think about Ciro, Ciro3D.com, great motorcycle products and accessories, especially the lighting options and accessories for the back of the bike and the front of the bike to keep you safe and so that you can see that deer in the middle of the road. Happy spring and ride safe. Hopefully I'll be saying that a lot louder and prouder as we get closer to warm weather. Ciro3D.com. If you want more info, click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So if you can cut through all of the so-called analysis, which really isn't reporting, it's just people telling you what they think when they're on CNN or Fox News or something like that. And it's also part and parcel the reason that people don't understand what's going on. Someone told me this weekend, oh, they've averted the shutdown because of the vote, I think, on Thursday that the House voted to basically pass the continuing resolution. And, the shutdown's been averted. So then I was surprised to find out that the Senate, you know, hadn't passed the bill. Well, of course not. We have two houses of Congress, and they don't always agree, and they don't always do the same thing. And this is how our government works. But people who are subject to the reporting across the board, whether it's YouTube or whether it is quote unquote mainstream media, it's all the same. And that is, it's all seeking to tell you what you have to do to quote unquote save America or to fix this problem or to call out the liars or to tell you the truth or everything else. I am never going to presume to tell you what you need to do or what you should think. You can think whatever you want. You have the freedom of choice, and that needs to be expressed really almost as a disclaimer to everything said. And, you know, it's really important to do that because it assumes that people have some level of intelligence and can think for themselves. But I'm going to defend President Trump here because the president, regardless of whether it's Barack Obama or Lyndon Baines Johnson or, you know, Huey Long or President Trump, is entitled to their opinion and entitled to the action of listening to the opinions of the advisors that they have picked to help him do what he does. There's nothing untoward or corrupt or wrong about opposing a plan or using strong words against a plan or even profanity. Donald Trump is certainly not the first president to use profanity, nor will he be the last. And as a treat, I'm going to feature a little montage of presidents. We'll start with John F. Kennedy, all fired up here about a controversy over the Defense Department spending a fortune to decorate the maternity suite at Walter Reed for Mrs. Kennedy.
General, yes, sir. That Air Force has caused itself more grief with that silly bastard. Did you see the Post this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm looking.
See that fellow's picture by the bed?
Yes, sir.
And you see that furniture they bought from Jordan Marsh? What the hell did they let the reporters in there for? Are they crazy up there? Now you know what's going to do. Any congressman's going to get up and say, Christ, if they can throw $5,000 away on this, let's cut them another $1 billion. You just sank the Air Force budget. You're crazy up there. Are they crazy? That silly bastard with his picture next to the bed?
Sir, I'm appalled, but...
I want to find out if we pay for that furniture, because I want it to go back to Jordan Marshall's.
All right, sir.
Then I want that fellow's incompetent who had his picture taken next to Mrs. Kennedy's bed, if that's what it is. I mean, he's a silly bastard. I wouldn't have him running a cat house. Christ, they're not all incompetent. Is that the way they're throwing money around over there? You better look into it, and especially when you told me that they hadn't spent a cent.
Well, sir, this is obviously...
Well, this is obviously a fuck-up.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
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 Imagine that, a president upset about spending. And, of course, the cursor in chief, Richard Nixon, regarding just about anything.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I know. But his wife could hear. I said, what happened to Gibbons? Yeah, fuck him. He wasn't with us with it. That's the way I feel.
Or LBJ talking to his tailor and referring to his bunghole.
Mr. Hager?
Yes, this is Joe Hager.
Joe, is your father the one that makes clothes?
Yes, sir. We're all together.
You all made me some real lightweight slacks that he just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago. It's a kind of a light brown and a light green, rather soft green and soft brown.
Yes, sir.
And they're real lightweight. Now, I need about 6 pairs for summer wear.
Yes, sir.
I want a couple, maybe 3 of the light brown, kind of a almost powder color, like powder on a lady's face.
Yes,
then there were some green, and then maybe some other light pair. If you had a blue in that or black, I'd have one blue and one black. I need about 6 pairs to wear around in the evening when I come in from work. And I need they're about a half an inch too tight in the waist.
Now, do you recall the exact size? I just wanted to be sure we get them right for you.
No, I don't know. You all just guessed at them, I think, son, but wouldn't you have the measurements there?
We'll find them for you.
I can send you a pair. I want them a half inch larger in the waist than they were before, except I want 2 or 3 inches of stuff left back in there so I can take them up. I vary 10 or 15 pounds a month.
All right, sir.
So leave me at least 2.5, 3 inches in the back where I can let them out or take them up, and make these a half inch bigger in the waist. Make the pockets at least an inch longer. My money and my knife and everything fall out. Wait just a minute. Hello.
Hello.
Now, the pockets, when you sit down in a chair, the knife and your money comes out, so I need it at least another inch in the pockets.
Fine.
Yeah. Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there because they cut me. They're just like riding a wire fence. These are almost, these are the best that I've had anywhere in the United States.
Right.
But when I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So, leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, round under my, back to my bunghole.
All right, then.
So I can let it out there if I need to.
So yeah, the president as head of one of the 3 branches constitutionally created by, of government in this country is not supposed to agree all the time, even when, and especially when a government shutdown is imminent. That's the whole point. It's called brinkmanship or hardball politics. In the end, President Trump got what he wanted. The Senate agreed to consider the immigration issue separately, which is probably as it should be, since politicians on the left and right in this country have been decrying for years the idea of attaching important legislation to spending resolutions. This is how our government actually works. It is not the end of the world. It is not a crisis. Being attacked by Japan is a crisis. The housing and stock market crash is a crisis. 9/11 is a crisis. The Cuban Missile Crisis. The Russians putting ICBMs in Cuba 90 miles off the shore of Florida is a crisis. The Senate shutting down the government because they can't agree or they want to delay a vote is not a crisis. But okay, concern over said shutdown ought to be looked at. If the government shuts down, what will the news media report on? If the flow of BS isn't kept on full blast, what will the analysts have to analyze? If the government isn't spread across all 50 states with its millions of employees, not necessarily military, by the way, no one would even care. One of the things I've been doing is watching the weather. We are having a sort of snowstorm, and one of the things I've wanted to do is get into a blizzard recently, and I decided by watching the National Weather Service websites over the weekend that This is not big enough for me. This is not a big enough, quote-unquote, blizzard for me. So the National Weather Service was still putting up forecasts, and the parks are still open, and the ships are still at sea, which is actually a testament to the president, because President Obama, in terms of brinkmanship, actually started to pull, quote-unquote, essential services, closing the World War II Memorial and things like that in order to get publicity to pin the shutdown on the Republicans. This president, this Republican president, didn't do that. He kept the essential services operating. So for all the people shouting and screaming and pounding about the dictator, Donald Trump, and all these terrible things that he's doing and what a horrible person he is, and this Republican Party and all of its horrible activities, they actually kept more so-called essential services operating over the weekend so that people wouldn't be put off and blame it on somebody. So I think that's important to point out, for especially for the people on Twitter spreading bile and on Facebook spreading bile. No matter what it is, it can't be a good thing if President Trump does it. Or if you go back 4 or 5 years, no matter what President Obama does, it can't be a good thing according to Republicans. It's just, you know, sick. Every one of us who decries such shenanigans ought to be asking ourselves, what have we become? For example, if you think of yourself, what would you do if you were a senator or congressman and you didn't agree with a provision that had been inserted regarding the Dreamers, let's just say, and that was your issue, whether you wanted more protection for them or you wanted less protection for them, and you decided, I'm going to draw a line in the sand, I'm going to vote no. And suddenly, you're the deciding vote. Would you be strong enough to say, I don't care if the government shuts down, I'm voting against that? Well, that's what people are saying they want their politicians to do. We sent you there to do a job. Now do it. How often do you hear that? And so when they actually do the job that you supposedly sent them to do, which is to say no, in this particular case, suddenly it's this horrible thing that we can't have this. And what's wrong with these guys? Why can't they do their job and everything else? What happened to this nation of self-sufficient people? You know, supposedly the United States is a nation of self-sufficient people who can solve, you know, our own problems. And now we're suddenly deeply concerned about Social Security checks and VA benefits and tax refunds, welfare checks, not to mention federal contractors getting paid or getting new contracts, and state governments, Republican and Democrat alike, worried that they're not going to get aid for schools and parks and transportation or the quote-unquote 13,000 federal employees who live here in the state. You know, I hesitate to point this out, but I think it's important, and this is why libertarians actually should be celebratory about a government shutdown, because it shows that we are not this self-sufficient nation that we think we are. This has become a nation of dependent persons in all walks of life. We are as soft and weak as any Epicurean eunuch bowing and scraping for attention and favor from some Byzantine emperor clad in purple velvet. Everyone, especially the Make America Great people, ought to think about that. We are living in a dream world if we think that a government shutdown is going to be the end of our days. Because the truth of the matter is that the guy in the White House, while strutting around as an alpha male on immigration, is about to introduce more spending on all kinds of things he wants and acts shocked when Democrats want to do the same. So what philosophical leg does he have, or does any Republican have to stand on, when Investors Business Daily and Bloomberg and Wall Street Journal are writing articles about how, oh, we're going to increase spending by $400 billion and, you know, suddenly it's a $4 trillion budget and it's the largest budget since the Obama, you know, stimulus package, and we've got a president talking about, you know, stimulus, and a president talking about quote-unquote infrastructure and everything else. You know, we don't have philosophical quote-unquote conservatives in there, at least when it comes to spending. There can never be enough government spending, according to both parties. And if you disagree with me, you only have to look at your own state legislatures, where for the most part, Republicans are increasing spending on, you know, happy little things like education, because there's never enough money for education, to pay for everything. And how do we pay for these things, we pay for them through taxation and control. The more government stuff we have, the more government ropes are wrapped around our necks. And that's how it is. This is the order of the day. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from taxes, or it comes from devaluing our money, and that is a tax as well. It comes out of our wallet to pay for an Apple plant or an Amazon HQ, which all the chambers of Italian fascism are super excited about. Oh, well, we're going to get the Amazon plant, and it doesn't matter how much it costs, even though, you know, the Apple plant in Wisconsin, the home of the most conservative Republican governor in the country, is actually going to spend more money in perpetuity to pay for jobs. It's something like $150,000 per job when it comes to the tax, benefits and the state benefits given to Apple to build a plant in their state, which the president was super excited about. It comes out of our wallet to pay for stadiums for rich NFL football team owners that could pay cash for it because they have billions of dollars. It comes out of our wallets to pay for goodies for the businessmen who keep their snouts in the trough and talk about being independent and self-sufficient and how much they do for the quote-unquote community. It comes out of our wallets to pay for the farmers growing rich on corn and wind power subsidies, not to mention Warren Buffett and Elon Musk. And yet, we begrudge those who have nothing and live on public assistance as lazy. Libertarians shouldn't celebrate a government shutdown. Once again, they're telling us what we should and should not think. The worst word in the English language is should. You can think what you want, but I am going to say this. One of these days, there is going to be a real crisis in this country, and we'd better be sure we have the community and the relationships, as well as the canned goods and fresh water, you know, touted by the preppers, because we should all fear the day we find out just how dependent on the government we have become. Remember, if you have plumbing needs, if you have water heaters or furnaces that go down this time of year, home or business, don't forget Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com. Now, I just read an article about it. And this is this idea that President Trump is really about trade protection. And so if you are one of these companies that manufactures overseas, then you're probably thinking about hedging your bets and bringing at least some of your manufacturing back to the U.S. If you're considering reshoring American manufacturing, remember DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar.com. Well, life can go on now that the government has been restarted. We rebooted. Oh, no, we didn't reboot it. We just restarted. It's now worse than it was before. Thanks for listening to Podcast 695. Government shutdown, aversion, diversion, insanity, whatever you want to call it. Bup.
Hey, little Cobra, don't you know you're going to shut them down? I took my Cobra down to the track. The back of my Cadillac. Everyone was there just waiting for me. There were plenty of stingrays and XKs. Spring little Cobra, get ready to strike. Spring little Cobra with all your might. Spring little Cobra, get ready to strike. Spring little Cobra with all your might. Hey little Cobra, don't you know you're gonna shut them down? When the flag went down, you could hear rubber burn. The stingray had me going into the turn. I hung a big shift and I got into high. And when I flew by the stingray, I waved bye-bye.